I think Katie Van Brackel does such a great job with our bulletin and making it colorful and inviting and engaging. And I looked at the front of the bulletin this morning. It's taken from inside our memorial garden. And you see the fence and you see the cross, which a church member made, that Celtic cross. Peter confesses Christ. The cross is central to understanding Christ. I also noticed that from earth looking up to heaven and how the two are related, the church in many ways tying heaven to earth, seeking to be God's people, do God's will on earth. The fence is interesting, isn't it? Where do you put the fence? Where does the church put the fence? If Christ is at the center, what's at the periphery? Who's in? Who's out? Who says? So I heard a story about a fence. It was on the mission field somewhere, and a much-loved American was doing work out on the field, and sadly, I don't know if it was malaria or what it was, but died there among the people whom he was serving, and the people just so loved this person that they asked that, against local custom, if this American could be buried in their cemetery, but it was not able to be so. And so the best that the village priest could do was to make sure that that American missionary was buried close to the cemetery, just outside the fence. And so they had services and they did their thing. And somehow overnight, you're not going to believe this, but a miracle happened. Because the next morning when the villagers went out to pay respects to that favorite beloved missionary, the fence had been moved. And it had now embraced that plot of burial. One of the things I appreciate most about this congregation is something that I had nothing to do with. I inherited your mission statement, and I think it's great. We are called to be a Christ-centered family of believers. We are trying to put Christ at the center of who we are and what we believe. If that's a fill in the blank, what's at the center of faith? Think about all the different things you could answer. This church says we're putting Christ there, trying to. I think that's not only good theology, I think it's not only biblical, but I think it's really clarifying and faithful. Christ, Christos, the Messiah, the anointed one. That's who Peter says Jesus is. Now we, the readers of Matthew's gospel, we have known that since the beginning. You know how Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 opens? An account of the genealogy of Jesus Christos. We've known since verse 1, chapter 1. Why did it take Peter till chapter 16 to figure this out? Do you know what happens when Jesus is proclaimed as Christ? Maybe this is some of why, to keep the secret and not get the word out too early. If word that Jesus is the Christ is out, do you know what the world will do to him? Do you know what the world did to him? Called him a blasphemer. They spit upon him. They blindfolded him. They beat him. They crucified him. "Are you the Christ?" said Pilate. Jesus said, "I am." Christ crucified is at the center of our faith. This is of first importance, said the first century church. Christ died for our sins. Christ was raised according to the scriptures. At the center of the scriptures is Christ. At the center of who Christ is the suffering one, the Messiah, who won for us forgiveness and salvation and life. When Peter said, "No, no, no, my idea of the Christ is not suffering," Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. Your mind is not on heavenly things, but earthly things. You are a stumbling block." Whatever else we say about the Christ, it is crucified Christ. So we're called to be, says this congregation, a Christ-centered people, which really means a cross-centered people, which really means service-centered, a love-centered people. When we sing, "Lord, I want to be a Christian into my heart, into my..." Isn't it interesting that the kids say the center of themselves is not their brains, but their hearts? When we say, "I want to be a Christian in my heart," I think Jesus answers that prayer and says, good, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow. We can't get away from the cross, can we? A call to faithfulness, a call to service, a call to love, a call to following Jesus, who is, yes, Christos. At the center of Scripture, Christ. At the center of Christ, a cross. On that confession is built the church. So a teenager today who asked what the sermon would be about, especially one that lives with me who's about the age of 17, says, what's that have to do with my life? That at the center of God's revelation is Christ, and at the center of who we strive to be is Christ, that we try to be Christ-centered. I got the question from a teen, so what? What does that have to do with me? I think that the answer is everything. So many people live in the world today and don't know what's at the center, don't know what the purpose or meaning is. I read Wes Moss's column in the AJC a lot just because the AARP has started to send me mailings. I shred the mailings. I don't want anything to do with the AARP. But I have noticed that Wes Moss talks about having enough in retirement to survive. And I think I need to get out of my denial and face that. So he wrote one and said, the biggest mistakes people make having to do with retirement. And I thought, you know, I ought to read that article. Here's what he said. Biggest mistake Americans make when it comes to retirement is they get to retirement and they don't have a purpose in their life. I was expecting a dollar figure, weren't you? I was expecting a 403B or a 501K or a KEO plan or something, Roth or one of those financial terms that I feel I'm always behind on. And he said, the biggest mistake, he said this in the economics section, the biggest mistake people make is they retire and they don't have a purpose for their life. So before I talk about money, before I talk about different aspects of savings and budgeting and managing in retirement, let me say this, get a purpose in your life. Do you hear a call to the church there? Do you hear a witness of the church to the world there? To be Christ-centered gives us a purpose. It informs everything that grows from there. The gospel seed bears fruit of a life that is harmonious with a center which is on Christ. When Peter said, Jesus, you are the Christ, Jesus said, I will start right there and build my church. Because if you understand that Jesus is God's anointed one, God's suffering servant sent to live and die and rise again for the salvation of the world, then out of that confession I can build my people. What does Jesus give to Peter but the very keys to the kingdom of heaven? Until we understand that Christ is a suffering Christ, the one who rose for us and died for us, we aren't ready for the keys. But as long as we keep our confession at Christ and stay centered on that, Peter said, here are the keys. What do we do with the keys? Well, you can lock things and you can unlock things. You can bind things and you can free things. One of the students in my disciple Bible study classes said, so what's God's plan for the world? For the salvation of the world? Well, he acted in Jesus Christ to save the world. And what's Jesus' plan to bring that kingdom to earth? Jesus says, here, Peter, have at it. Here, church, bind and loose. Bring the kingdom to the world, free and lock, loose and fasten. It's in your hands. As the Father sent me, now I send you. Go, baptize, teach, make disciples. Here, church. I like the student in that class said, doesn't God have a better plan than me and you? Well, we have Scripture and we have the Spirit and we have the church that's gone before us. Peter says, it's in your hands. Jesus says to Peter, it's in your hands. Imagine that. I had an elementary school counselor who I wish when I was a little younger I had gotten these words, but I heard her say, here's how you parent young kids. You all have to do discipline. There's basket A, there's basket B, and there's basket C. She said, I can't tell you what to put in your baskets, but let me tell you, basket A is what you bind in your house. You will go to school. You will be on time. You will join Cub Scouts. No, you don't have to join Cub Scouts. She said, let's make that one C. This is the optional basket. This is the required basket. The best thing you can do as parents for your kids, she said, is be consistent. Let them know what they have choice about. Let them know what they don't have choice about. You will floss your teeth. Tom Cunningham was here in the early service saying, absolutely. You know, for Ollie and Heather Wagner, it was probably more of a B basket. You ought to brush your teeth. I hope you'll brush your teeth. It's not the end of the world. Did I say brush? No, you will brush. You might not floss. A basket, you will treat everybody with respect. Non-negotiable. You will major in philosophy and be pre-ministry or pre-law. No, that's optional. The counselor said the mistake parents make is when they start mixing up the baskets or when they try to put everything in this basket. Do you know parents like that? If you don't get in this car right now, you're not going on vacation. Who would say that? The kids even know you. That's not true. That's called a false threat. Let your A basket be your A basket. Don't bite kids in nursery. Don't hit kids in second grade. Don't talk back to your teachers. A basket. B basket. Do you want to sing in the church choir? I'll tell you what. If you go to church choir practice as a kid, we'll take you out for ice cream or make your bed, and then you can watch a little more TV. You negotiate. C basket, it's freedom. You can see that giving kids too much freedom is also a problem, too. Mom and Dad, what time do you need me to be home? Oh, I don't care. Oh, no, I do care. You will be home at 11 o'clock. But the movie's not over till 10:55. Okay, you will be home at 11:30. We negotiate that one. But you're going to sing in church choir tomorrow. Mary Busman smiles there. I think that's helpful when it comes to how we do church. What do we bind? What do we loose? And who says? Because, you know, the church used to say women cannot stand on the chancel unless they glove their hands. Why did they bind that? The culture of that time said that is what had to happen. Women must cover their hats. Do you know the woman in Scotland that I knew who sold hats? Said once the church loosed that one, I had to close my shop. True story, Western Islands of Scotland. What does the church bind? What does the church loose? The older I get, I want to bind less and less and less. Because for freedom, Christ has set us free. Don't submit to the yoke of slavery. For freedom, Christ has set us free. The cross is at the center of who we are. God gives us conscience, and God gives us Christ's teaching and example to guide us and support us as we seek to live that out in the world. One of the problems in the world, I think, is when religious groups or nations try to bind too much and not free enough. We have increasing intolerance and violence and separation. What we need is more mutual forbearance and an appreciation of diversity to live together. I met a Muslim friend, a neighbor from Pakistan, who was at an auto shop where I was, and we got talking about religion, and he said, "Don't you think it all comes down to being respectful and tolerant and good neighbors to each other? Christ at the center." Learning to love God, learning to love one another. When Peter heard that Christ was at the center and this would be a costly confession and a sacrificial confession, he said, "Lord, forbid it." But Jesus said, "Thy will be done." This must be a basket. And if you are going to be one of my followers, you must deny yourself and carry your cross, a basket. Christ-centered, cross-centered, freedom-loving, love-centered, binding and loosening and speaking and acting always and everything, doing it for the sake and in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. to whom be all glory and power now and forever. Amen.